Shlomo Angel, Parshas Vayikra.
There's a chiddush I saw this morning in brought down by Bisocha Fram Bashem the Darki Musa. And when it says Vayikra Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra Moshe, Vayikra Moshe, so that Chazal say that Moshe Rabbeinu heard it and no one else heard it. So the Darki Musa mentions, you need Darki Musa to say that. The Darki Musa says that really anyone could hear it. It's just Moshe Rabbeinu's ears were finely attuned to it. In other words, oh, I hear this. His ears were waiting to hear. Many people can hear things, but it doesn't get very far. The ears aren't attuned to it. They hear, but it doesn't make any difference to them. Whereas Vayikra El Moshe, that was a proper kriya, and Moshe Rabbeinu heard it. That's what he brings down. And Reb Sochel Franda saw this morning, brings this down. And he says that this might be an issue that Klal Yisrael have to contend with and think about. Because very often people hear things, but it doesn't seem to penetrate at all. They heard, but it didn't penetrate. So he brings down about Vayishma Yisrael. Oh, that's right. Vayishma Yisrael. Vayishma Yisrael. That's an example. So he says when it came to the miracles of a remember still in the Misporim 1990. When the Scud missiles fell, and all the miracles that happened at the time. I mean, every person that was killed, but it was a miracle at the time. And he said there were 39 Scud missiles that fell, and we're not talking about a firecracker, because it happened in an American base, and it's killed scores of people, just with one Scud missile. So people heard, and they might have heard it on the news, but did it penetrate? What happened after that? It's all very well to hear at the time. Rabbi Elie Lopian said it's very easy to be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when there is a tzora. But the shaila is, are we mispalel and thankful after the tzora is over, or do we say, phew, now it's over now, ach bin yoitzer, and that's it. That's what he says in the beginning of this week's seder. So I thought I'd expound on this a bit, because it set off a train of thought. Right. We're coming up, Bez Hashem, to Pesach, and Shimshon Pinkus, in the Dagod Shepesach, it's not his own Sefer, but it's written in the Dom of Rav Shimshon Pinkus' Sefer to Avos Shepesach, that he says, imagine the following. You've got here an airport, and people come to the airport, and they're looking to see what sort of planes there are. And there's a viewing area, like they've got Manchester Airport and then other airports, there's a viewing area. Wow, the big planes and small planes, Boeing 747s or bigger ones, 757s, 773, 792, I don't know what the names are, but I'll call upon them, they're definitely big ones. They're definitely big ones. And he said, wow, look at that airplane, look how it's landing, look how it's going off. And then they leave the airport and they go home again. There's other people that come to the airport, and when they come to the airport, they go straight in, and they go to the ticket office, and they present their whatever they've got, and then they go on the plane, and the plane takes them to their destination. So we ask ourselves a question, the hundreds of people that come to watch the planes, who are the ones, why did they make the planes? Did they make the planes for those people that come and watch, and then they go home? Or do they make the planes for those that actually get on the plane and they take them to a different place? So he says about that, of course they made the planes for the people that actually get on the plane and they go to a different place. That's understood. So he said, unfortunately, people hear about, let's say, Pesach and Yom Tov, and they say, oh, very nice, very good, very good, and then they go home again. Doesn't make any difference. But there are those that get on the plane, and they fly to a different place, whether it's a Shia, whether it's a Yom Tov itself, he talks about the Pesach, Matzah, Moreh, oh, that takes me somewhere, it takes me to the next Pesach. But otherwise, it's just a bystander. Very nice, we do all the things, and we go through the ritual, and that's it. So what he likes to think, in Noah Dwan and Misha Omrom, what he likes to think is that when people get on, when people go and they don't just visit a Yom Tov, they don't just visit a Tefillah, very nice, and afterward it's all over. They take it with them. And that's the idea, to be able to take something with. It's a very, very difficult, it's an easy concept to understand, but very difficult to put the Maisa.
Some people fly first class as well.
Pardon?
Some people fly first class.
That's right, square. Yeah, very good. Yeah, that's even better.
Yeah.
It's even better. Yeah.
Upgrade.
Yeah. So having that in mind, I reminded myself of a story, and this story, it's brought down a Megid Givas Olam, and this story, yesterday or this morning, I remember, I saw the story in one way, but it's multifaceted, this story. I don't know how many multi, but I've got three explanations in this. But the story went like this. Let me put you into the story first. The story was like this, that there was a bocher in Ratin Yeshiva, who was already what they call an elder bocher, but he was really enjoying the shiurim, etc. He enjoyed. So then someone came along and told him, you know, you're rat in yeshiva, and you have to find some sort of zivug. Actually, you go and ask a brocha from the Chofetz Chaim. He said, I don't want to bother him. Chofetz Chaim is an elderly man already. I don't want to bother him. And then it's interesting that this young man, he heard a shiur of an Rav Tolly Trop. And it was such a good shiur. His name was Aaron Vorderbrenker. That's what he was called. And this Aaron Vorderbrenker, that's where he came from. He heard the shiur of Tolly Trop, a gewaldige shiur. That sometimes one really feels very good. One feels as like, wait a minute, there must be some problem around somewhere. You know, I feel so good. Is there any problem? Yeah, of course. I want to come out of the now, I've got to do something about it. So this Aaron Vorderbrenker decided once and for all he's going to go to Chofetz Chaim for a brocha. But he's a bit shy and a bit ashamed. Let's go. So he decided, I'm going to go at a time when there's no one else around. When is there no one else around? When the Chofetz Chaim is eating his Suda Samav Sekes. Erev Yom Kippur. So he goes, Taki comes to the Chofetz Chaim's house, Erev Yom Kippur, and Taki, there's only one, there's a younger man there speaking to the Chofetz Chaim, and he asks this younger man, you know, please, I'm next, can you put forward my case? So what's your case? He told me, he wants a shidduch. So, okay, I'll put it over to the Chofetz Chaim. So he goes, says the Chofetz Chaim, Rebbe, this young man, he needs a shidduch. The Chofetz Chaim looks up and he says, oh, it's Alamon bleiben balen. You should always remain in learning. Mal Kesha. So, but he thought actually the Chofetz Chaim didn't hear. So he went up to him again and he said, Rebbe, et darf hoben a brocha for a shidduch. So the Chofetz Chaim said, et darf hoben a brocha bleiben balen. And it didn't same thing. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he asked him three times, and every time the answer was the same. So it's Alamo, Bleibe, Malena, which remained in learning. So the Alam for the breaker, he gave up. His name was, I think, Shulkin afterwards, but his name was Shulkin. But he gave up, and the Chofetz Chaim didn't understand. He went into the corridor of the Chofetz Chaim's house, and as soon as he got out in the corridor, he burst out crying. He's got an opportunity here, and it didn't work. I was waiting for the bracha of Chofetz Chaim. It didn't work. So then he feels a tap on his shoulder. And he looks around. And there is Reb Chanan Wasserman. Tall, very tall. Reb Chanan Wasserman was Zeche Tzadeh Baruch Hashem Nukim Domei. And Reb Chanan Wasserman used to come to the Chofetz Chaim for Yomim Neroim to daven with the Chofetz Chaim. So Reb Chanan Wasserman asked him, what's the matter? Why are you crying? So he pulled out his heart. And he said, I went to the Chofetz Chaim, I plucked up the carriage, whatever he said, I went to the Chofetz Chaim, and I asked for a brocha, and he didn't understand what I meant. He said, what do you ask for a brocha for? I said, for my zivug. So, and what did the Chofetz Chaim say? So it's almo blime balenem. So he's, so what are you crying about? When he gave you a brocha, so it's almo blime balenem, he gave you everything. You have to have good health. So by saying those alamo bleiben balenen, he's actually giving you an all-encompassing brocha. Oh, gewaltig. So it occurred to me though that besides alamo bleiben balenen, it also means that was malen, so bleiben should take it with you. It's all very well to learn and shulim and fine and well. It's all very good, but it's one taking it, so it's alamo bleiben balenen, which a person has. And it's also something. And that's a very difficult thing. Very difficult. Yeah. There are different stories about people that took a message or some that didn't take a message. And they heard the Shia, that was this story about the Rebbe Zalman Meltzer. The Rebbe Zalman Meltzer, he was okay with Gavad Odom Godel, with Shalom Bais, etc. But someone had told the person that was going to give a Shia, that's a Ari Levine, that Efsha, there's someone there who's got a bit of issue at home. Actually, you can give it over and you should get the message whilst you're giving the shir. So it said, okay, the Bar Levine said, Avada. So he was giving the shir about the senior mentors, about Sholem and Ben Ishleishno, etc. Kadarke Bekoidesh. And the Bissus Alma Meltzer came in the middle and he sat down and he listened to the shir. And after the shir, he went up to Rabbi Ari Levine, he said, Rabbi Ari Levine, thank you so much for the shir. Why? Because it was about Shalom Bayis, and you know, I helped Medaf Chazik sign in the senior, thank you very much. I'm going to be even better to my wife than I was before. Everyone knew that he had the best son of his wife. Baruch Hashem, there was a moyadic relationship. But if the person wants to hear what they want to hear. So he had the shir, and I want to buy Yikro al Moshe. Right, he's speaking to me. I sit down, the shir is speaking to me. Oh, that's very, very good. But the person, I don't know if the person who was meant to listen was actually listening. And somebody else, there's been examples of that people listened and they thought it meant someone else. Obviously, it doesn't mean me. A person's got to hear. So we said that to be able to hear, one has to try and appreciate that one is in the subject. Right, I'm coming to hear, There's a big poster up. Someone's coming from a different place, going to give a shiur about the certain Indian. Right. So why am I going to the shiur? To be able to understand and appreciate. That's going to tell me something. And echal almo blaiman badalena. So by yikrol Moshe, first of all, I'm internalizing it, and then I'm going with this message and taking it somewhere for myself or to give it over to others as well. That's the vayikrol. To be able to do that, we once said that it's a Rabbi Chaim Freim Zaychik, and it's a difficult thing to be able to, when we learn Chumash, Itainas, one's got to imagine that one was there at the time. It's not enough just to learn Chumash. And very nice, I've got a nice Torah, we're going to be there at the time. So when we have, let's say, when it comes to Pesach, Chayv Odom, Lirois Es Atzmoy, Kilehu Yotzom in Mitzrayim, it's a very Chayv Odom, a person's got a Chiyuv. Lirois Es Atzmoy, to see himself, Kilu hu yotzim etzayim. So one has to transport oneself back in time, and one has to imagine, and one looks at the Medrash, and one doesn't just see the Medrash, and one doesn't just hear Shurim about it. One has to write, right, this Shia is telling me something about the time. Now, what would happen if I would be at the time, and I would be going with Kali Sol out of Mitzrayim? Chayev Odom, literally says, Atzmoy, Kilu hu yotzim etzayim. So I'm imagining it, and I've got the Kerech Hatziru, which every person has. As Reb Simcha Zisel says, it's a wonderful gift, and I think other Gedolim as well, Reb Yeruchim, it's a wonderful gift of Kerech Hatziur to use it for the right reasons. Not Kerech HaDimyon, Dimyon is something else, but Kerech Hatziur. Tziur is someone, a metzai in my own mind, I conjure up something in my mind, that this is something, Chayav Odom Lesatzu Gotzorim. And then in that way, hopefully we appreciate, if we go through the Tziur Tzorim, then we get up on the plane, and we're actually going to another place, which is should be done. Otherwise, it's just by rote. But that's also good. So Zayna Maisa Kuf Ba'alma should be just by rote. It's also a mitzvah, but it's not the same. Not the same. Chayev Odom Lirises Atzmoy Kilotim Tzvayim. And that applies to many, many mitzvahs. Bein Ben Odom Lamokrim and Bein Debalom Chaveroi. Let's take the mitzvah, I mean a common mitzvah. We know that Olam Chesed Yibone. Now, I don't want to chas v'shalom sound cynical here. I'm just telling you what I've heard in the last few days. And it's one always, Melamed Tzchus and Klal Yisrael, and always will be, Klal Yisrael have got an inbuilt dynamo which is called Chesed. We can't even say that we've worked on it because we've got it from Avraham Avinu. We've got it, it's an inbuilt Chesed. Gavaldik Gezach, as we heard just for Friday night, someone was telling me, Mamash, there was someone, Chmul Etzon, that wasn't well here, and within a day, all the money was made for being able to have this person to go through an operation. It was a money digger thing. Lahavdil Elef Avdolos, when this murder took place last week in London, they went fundraising for the policeman's family that was murdered. And they made double as much as that they expected to make. So what's enough gemina? Chesed oylam, yidin bali chasodim. Going to do very well as well. So what's up, Shad? The answer is, the Chayvus Halvava says that when it comes to chasodim, yidin can do better. For the goyim, it's, and that's the Chayvus Halvava says, some people give stocker, and phew, I've done my duty now. That's it, I can switch off. You ask for money, I've got rachmonos to myself, I see a policeman, and this policeman has died, been murdered in cold blood, so I feel I want to give something to others. Phew, it's all over now. But with yidin, it goes differently. It's not just I'm giving. What's happening? They ask, has it been done? Was this successful? They put themselves into the matzav of the person that's going through it. And that's the difference. That's a concept which the Rabbi Dessler says, the difference between true chesed and rachmonos. And rachmonos is gewaldig as well. And avada rachmonos is gewaldig. It's an inbuilt thing in the world. They have got pity. But when yidin do it, it's every individual yid, and we're good together. We don't even know the person well. We didn't know this guy either. And people gave, but we give. It's not. It's going to take us somewhere. It's going to. We give it, believe sholim, and we give it when it's a bit more difficult. And sometimes people can't really afford it, and they still give, and that changes things. That changes things. The baguettes on the. That's called a mitzvah that takes us somewhere. There's a. It says mar betoyda, mar bechayim, mar beitza, mar betvuna. Yeah, mar betstoker, mar besholim, mar betstoker is mar besholim. A lot of people stoker, but it's not dafka mar besholim. It means marba means they give that bit extra because a lot of people give stoker. They argue a lot of people dance from an esra, and the Ruri Weissblum says in his Akdoma to Ha'oras HaTfilah, he says, let's imagine the following scenario. Again, it's difficult, but let's imagine the following scenario. The two people have got exactly the same business. They both deal in cloth. They both got exactly the same floor space, and they both open at 9 o'clock in the morning. So Reuven goes to a shop 9 o'clock in the morning, opens the shop, checks all the material after switching on the light. Everything is there. Then, it's right, it's all there. Walks out of the shop, locks it and goes back home. This Shimon, who's got exactly the same floor space and dealing with the same sort of stuff, the same sort of, same business. He comes in, also 9 o'clock in the morning, and he switches on the light, and he also checks all the material, and then he goes behind the counter, and then people start flocking in. So the Uri Weissblum asks, what is the difference between these two people? I mean, the difference is that one is an Esek Chai, and one is an Esek Mace. That's how he describes it. An Esek Chai means it's living. It's going somewhere. He comes in, goes around the counter, yes, come, go, come, go, and he buys more. And the other person doesn't, well, it goes into the shop. He also counts the material. He's got the same amount of material, but then it goes out again. That's called an Esek Mace. So he says, unfortunately, when it comes to davening, it's the same thing. We step into davening. We are the present company excluded people. So that's the davening. And it's an Esek Mace. Rattle off the davening. Right, that's it. Finish. Close the siddur. Now, that's called an Esek Mace. They've gone into the shop. The shop of davening said, and then go through it, check all of it, set all the Shemena Esra, yes, those weather, close it, go outside, nothing's happened. Nothing at all. They haven't flown. Whereas another person might come into the Beis HaMikdash, a bit of Achrona beforehand, comes to the Beis, opens the Siddur, Amar Toivu Yolecho Yaakov, Mishkesech Yisroel, and I'm, oh, Gewaldig, and they go to the Davnik, and whoops, and then it starts warming up. That's called an Esek Chai. And then it tuck up, they fly, they go on the plane, and they fly with it. That makes a very big difference. A very big difference. That's enough kamina between, as they say, an Esek Chai and an Esek Mace. And the same when it comes to Maisa Mitzvah. There's a difference in Chasodim. There's an Esek Chai and there's an Esek Mace. There's a story I once read that Reb Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was, besides being a Rosh Yeshiva, he was a makar of many, many people. There was a person that once came into him with a ponytail, a man, with a ponytail, and didn't look kind of shy for anything, and he was asked to speak to Shlomo Freifeld, and he spoke to him, and Shlomo Freifeld understood that what he is interested, this young man is interested, in Indians. I mean, Indians of the cowboys and Indians. He's interested in Indians. Right, so he chats to them about Indians, that, and after, I don't know how many conversations he had with him, he decides, this Rebbe Shlomo Freifeld, he's wonderful, wonderful. So, I want to change. Why did he want to change? He once came into Rebbe Shlomo Freifeld, I don't know how often he came, but he came to Rebbe Shlomo Freifeld, and Rebbe Shlomo Freifeld wasn't there, and he happened to notice there were books on the floor. So he looked at the books on the floor, and they were about Indians. So, and I was, Shlomo Freifeld wasn't just trying to be makar of him, and just caught him. He wants to know more about it, more about Indians, to put himself in a zami matzav that he can converse. If I can converse with someone, if I know all about Indians, and all the, and what, that they do with the society, etc., and all this chevra, that whatever they do, then I'll be able to converse with it better. That is a person that does a chesed, but they're getting onto the plane. They're putting themselves into the matzav, and that makes a difference, a very big difference, as I say, between an Esek Chai and an Esek Mace. The I heard a very sweet story, if I could say so. It's a very sweet story from Reb Broch Motche Ezrachi about a couple of weeks ago. Reb Broch Motche Ezrachi, he said the following story. I've never heard the story before about the Chasam Sofer. I haven't heard a lot of stories before, but this is one of them I haven't heard. So that Chasam Sofer was like this. Chasam Sofer, apparently, his button had come off his frock. So he called his daughter, and his daughter came in, and he said, "My dear daughter, please, can you sew it on?" Oh, what a, he didn't ask, "Can you sew? Can it be sewn on?" So it seems, but I'm not 100% sure of this. So it seems. Yeah. So he goes along. She goes, "Well, about a big school." She goes, and if, I don't know how long, how much, what expanse of time there was, but she comes in back with a frack and says, "Tati, I've got it." She says, "Yeah, let me have a look." Psst. It's very nicely sewn on. Very nicely sewn on. Very good. Very good job. "But you didn't do it." "Oh, Emma's second suit." "Tati, how did Tati? I gave it to one of the maid or whatever to do it." She says, "How did Tati know I didn't do it?" "What's the pshat?" "The pshat is like this," he explained to her. He said, "When I gave you the frack, there was a thread at the side. A thread at the side. This thread is still there. If you would have done it, you're a daughter to a father, you want to do it properly, you'd have got rid of the thread as well. You give it to someone else in the house, and they're not interested in that. They're just, button, yeah, turn on the button, yeah. A tata for a tochter, or a daughter for a father, does it properly. You'll get rid of the thread." Oh, so he said, Elalopian said, when we say in davening, when it comes to Yom Kippur, we say, "In kavonim, in kavonim. In kavonim rachameinu, kerachim ovalbonim. Ve'im kavodim, einidu l'chosiluyeh." So Elalopian said the following. He said, "In kevonim, if we like a father and son relationship, that's when you do a mitzvah, to say when it comes to Pesach, when it comes to Chesed, all right, I'm yotze now, phew." That's one way of doing it. But there is a way of in kevonim. I'm doing like a son does it to a father. I'm not just interested in just giving. I'm not just doing a mitzvah. With all the little pitchers, with all the little bits and pieces, like that they say about one of the gedolim, when it came to Moed Purim, he went to the bank and he wanted to give crisp notes to the aniyim, crisp bank notes. It's just that bit better, it's that bit nicer than to do problem with a little pitch of kiss as well. So in kavonim rachameinu kerachim ovabonim. That's a mitzvah kereged midrash and silcho. We do it properly. We do a mitzvah properly, and then we can rachameinu kerachim ovabonim. In kavodim. If it's just like avodim, yoytze gevein comes from Pesach, yoytze gevein avodim. We had to come out of the mitzvah, but in kavodim, then take need a lechol siluyos. We take need a shikul rachmonos here. Atzeret choneinu. It's not the same. When a person does it with the extra bits, and a person gets into the lemaisa, a bechin of chayiv adam lisses atzmoi, and that is a difficult part. The difficult part of our lives, but that shows Baruch Hashem. If we manage to do that, then we're really getting into the system. And that really is. It's not just, that is really the hallmark of, we're great people, but we're all great in that respect. We can all do that. We can all do it in a way that we're looking around and we're seeing and understanding that there's much more to what we see and much more to what we hear. If we're only finely attuned and we see things. Some people see, and the B'chaim Shmulevit said, some people see, it says in the Pasuk in Keheles, I can't say moshel about a person atzol the isha otzel avoriti v'ne'olu kulo kam shoinim, and it was all kam shoinim, and it went past it, and what happened? Lo isi, I saw it. That's not enough. I saw it. Lekachti musa, I got something out of it as well. But a lot of people see things, but when they see it, they don't respond. But it's lo isi lekachti musa. And the same with davening. Some people with davening, they see something, oh, and they imagine it. He says an interesting thing, the Ha'aras HaTfila. What we should try and do with davening, he says, is try And it matters, it's easier said than done. But when we're talking about like a Shiva Shiftini Kuvarishon of Yatzin Kvat Chila, I saw this other week, it's a pity I didn't see it a few many years earlier. Oops, it's a bit, that's never too late. But a Shiva Shiftini Kuvarishon, a person say that, right, they're still saying it. But imagine. A person says a bracha about refuah. Oh, wait a minute, I know this person's not well and that person's not well. But not just that they're not well. They're not well. When a person's not well, it means that the family suffer. And then when his family suffer, it causes ramifications in other areas as well. Then they go to school with the children, and therefore perhaps the principal has more difficulty and the teacher has more difficulty. It's not just dumb. It's something which has got the frills to it as well. Unfortunately, not such pleasant frills. But if a person doubles the fa'inu and they understand when they say the fa'inu, I'm imagining someone at the same time. That it should come up, completely be eradicated. As the revised room says in his Oras of Tfilah, then the davening looks different. We have now in Pesach time, or at any other time, we have the Yesod of the Balachinuch, which is Ki Achrei Pa'ulos Nimshoches Halvavos. That a person does an action, the amazing thing about an action is, a person is once doing something, Ki'achia pu'ulois nimshoches halvovois. So when we have an action, it's nimshach, the halvovois. The leave continues. And when that happens, any action that one does, any maisa mitzvah, and of course, the more one puts into it, the more of an injection, it becomes an esek chai, the further it goes. And that's hopefully what we have here. That the Shimshon Pinkas said that what really got it Erev Pesach, he says in his Dakdoma to Agadosh Pesach, not Dakdoma, he says it was a bocha in yeshiva, and once it came Leo Bedika, and he did Bedika with what he had to do in the yeshiva, and then he realized it could be that they weren't boided the roof of the yeshiva. So he went up onto the roof and he saw, obviously the roof hadn't been cleaned for a long, long time. And he was already oiskemitchet and oiskematet. But, is it his achrayas? No. But lemaisa, if he does bedikah in the roof, on the roof, it took him, I think, the whole night to be able to do that. There was so much rubbish on the roof, etc. And whatever else there was, whatever chometz there was, until the morning. And he thought, Efshar, right, it comes to the morning, I'm oiskemitchet, oiskematet, Efshar, I'll get a bit of sleep in. The Maisa didn't work like that, but time was B'dikah Schot, and the B'dikah Shavah Schot, and the Maisa Kajem. So the whole day was busy, and he thought, what's going to happen when it comes to see the night? He's going to be flat out. He hasn't slept since the previous night. He's going to be flat out. But he said that see the night was the most amazing see the night he had. Not only did he not fall asleep, it was a Psechius. Because that singing, as we said, the Marbeh. A person doesn't just take it as a bedikas chometz. It goes much further than that. The bedikas chometz means I'll try to do that bit more. And that makes all the difference. That is the gewaldige koyach that we have. Emunas chachomim. Emunas chachomim has got the same principle, and I'll leave you with this message, Bez Hashem. Baruch Hashem, every single generation, it's got its gedolim. And the idea is that when we hear someone from this gedolim, we have to be able to tune in and say, right, however difficult it's going to be, but now I'm in it. Because when one does that, as it happened to the stipler told someone on an occasion, he told him, you know what, if you want a tzlocha, because he had a problem, because many members of his family, unfortunately, were nifter lefnei zmanon. Well, lifter lefnei zmanom, so he said, Rebbe, and please, I need a brocha that I'm going to have a long life. So he went to the stipler, and the stipler told him, this came up just after the stipler's pachira in one of the papers. The stipler told him, if you say the tefillah of Yom Kippur cotton, then you'll be okay. In other words, members of the family were nifter lefnei zmanom, there's always some sort of, well, it's ayin hara, but you'll be okay. So he took it. Every single month, when it came to Tefillah Yom Kippur, it came to, he said, Yom Kippur Kodem Davening. The slichas that were said the melicha before, one day, or one evening I should say, he sat down with his wife for supper, and his wife told him, by the way, don't forget, it's a shchedesh, don't forget Yalav Yovei. He'd never told his wife about going to the Steidler. But when he heard that, he went pale. Now, he'd forgotten that tonight was a shchedesh, and therefore he didn't, wasn't mispalel Yom Kippur Kotten. That was the month he was nifter. That month he was nifter. So when I heard this, when I heard the story, so what's a pshat in that? What's a pshat in that? A lot of people, I don't say Yom Kippur Kotten with all due respect to myself. I mean, Elo Lefsha, but not. So what's the person, because he's put himself under, this is what the Godel said, so now I'm part of this Godel. And however much I don't understand it, it's alive to me. It's difficult, might be difficult, what's Yom Kippur Kotten going to do with Arichas Yomim? I don't know. Is there a school of Arichas Yomim, Yom Kippur Kotten? I don't know. I haven't seen anywhere, so it's Yom Kippur Kotten. But because one's put oneself that, I'm just listening to this Olam Godel, I don't understand the Shaykhahs, what's an Avkimina? But this is what it is, that I'm under the umbrella and the protection of this Olam Godel. So Moedig Meister, that happened to his son recently. I heard this from two different people, and it's a Moedig Meister, it's Mufursim now, I think, now I heard it, it's Mufursim to me. Some Rosh HaKoyel recently went up to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And this is it's inexplicable. I once told someone over the story, and I forgot it. I went over to Rob. I couldn't tell that Rob the story. I couldn't remember it. It was a story that was a bit tired. So he told me, I've got a story to tell you. And he told me a Dennis-day story that I was going to tell him. I didn't tell him that, by the way. But I'll come upon him. He told me this miser. So a person comes to the Chaim Kanevsky, Rosh HaKoyel, the Indian, whenever one goes collecting or whatever it is, he's going to go to America. The Rosh HaKoyel asks the Chaim, Rebbe, I'm going to America. Please give a brocha. He needs money for his koil. So the Chaim said to him, why do you need to go to America? Go to Tzfas. I guess it's where are you going to get money in Tzfas? So he asked the Gabba, I could listen to the Tamil Chachomim, the Chaim, what's the pshat? Go to Tzfas? I said, take his own. He said that. I asked, go to Tzfas. So he cancels his ticket, and he goes to Tzfas. Happened recently. He goes to Tzfas. Who's he going to go collecting to? He doesn't know any addresses in Tzfas. He goes through the streets of Tzfas, this Rosh HaKoyel, and he comes there to a Beis HaMedrash. At least Chotchik, let me learn. He comes to the Beis HaMedrash. There's a person learning in the Beis HaMedrash from an art scroll Gomorrah. So the person looks up, and he says to this Rosh HaKoyel, shalom up. Where are you from? So he said, well, actually, I'm from wherever he came from, Bnei Brak. I'm not sure if it's Bnei Brak, Yerushalayim. So what are you doing here? I'm not quite sure myself. So what's up, Pshat? So when Reb Chaim Kanievsky told me that I've got to come, I should come to Tzfas. He said, what's happening? Where are you going to go? He said, I was going to go to collecting in America. So he said, who are you collecting for? Well, I've got a coil. Let's hear about your coil. It's all about a coil. It's appealed to this fellow. Don't go to America. So how much do you need in a year? Come to my hotel, I'll give you a check. It's Le'oila Ladas. How did Abchaim know? And what's enough? It's Tzfas and Issa. I'm doing what he said, so I'm under his canopy. So now I'm part of this brocha. I'm part of his brocha. So I'm part of it. So now we get back to where we started, and we say, well, we part of a yontif, it's going into the yontif and flying with the yontif, and it's being a part of the yontif, it's just Pesach Matzavora. So one gets onto the plane, and by Yikrol Moshe, we're hearing, and we're not just hearing, we're experiencing. We hear, and we understand, and we experience, whether it's a davening, whether it's a shlich tzibah, whether it's a shlich, whatever it may be, but we're using it, then we're flying. So it comes to Pesach, Taka, we should all be zicha in one way or another, to be able to get on this plane, so to speak, get on the plane and move and fly. And the chizuk that we get from the lead up to Pesach, Pesach itself, should take us, Baz Hashem, we should all be zicha to chat kosh and sameach.
Thank you very much.
Sorry for saying this. Thank you very much.
You're
very good to speak.